The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It was a god-awful week of wrestling. I just woke up, and I feel like I woke up from a terrible nightmare, but the nightmare was true. Total nonstop deletion happened, and God. If it sounds like I'm not hyped up yet, it's because I'm going to get into it. But that was just the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen car wrecks. In fact, I'm hearing a car wreck behind me right now on Broadway. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Maybe. I don't know what's happening back there. I'm your host, Shannon Young. With me tonight, the usual Podzilla 1985, Pro Wrestling Unscripted gang, the five-star man, Asa Gray at the end of the table.
All five.
Dalton Anthony, the big D.
Yo.
And, of course, Foxy Baby.
Oh, my God.
He's not that out of it because that survived.
Some things stay in the psyche. They stay in the mind.
Exactly.
Of course.
No, I'm that.
Yeah.
He's always there.
The way he says Foxy Baby, just really.
Just the way he talks in general is great.
It's good to see Alicia Fox has graduated from being a total diva to an object.
Yeah.
Good for her.
It's not wrong.
And it just sucks because she's so good.
She's so talented. Yeah. But that's.
Do you remember Crazy Alicia Fox?
I do. That was my favorite Alicia Fox. That was a great character.
She would just take people's sodas and like.
She took hats and.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
She brought it back to lose to Nia Jax.
That's true.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because she hit her in the face with that one thing, and then like, oh, I.
And then it was like, oh, this is live. I want to apologize, but nope. Gonna.
But why do that when you can just stand there and look pretty?
Yeah,
that's what Vince likes.
She fell down and got injured.
And then Noam Dar came in to save her.
Oh my God! And you know she's gonna turn to. Okay, that's a discussion for later.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Let's start off with Roadblock. Roadblock was Sunday. Actually, was Total Nonstop Deletion was before Roadblock, right?
Nope.
It was Tuesday. No, it was Monday.
No, it was Thursday.
Oh, it was.
It was before.
Because I missed it.
So, let's go with Roadblock first. It's the big one. It's the Sunday. It's the WWE pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Although we can't call it pay-per-view anymore. We call it, what did
their
I say
network
it was?
Specials.
Yeah, it's a network special. Exactly. Roadblock was quite possibly the most disappointing pay-per-view network special that I've seen in a long, long time. And where do we start? Where do you want to start?
I'm actually going to have to pull up the card because the only thing that.
Let's just skip and get right to the point. Sasha versus Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's where we're going with this. And apparently, if you didn't see it, what happened is Sasha, with seconds left to go, taps out to the. To the figure eight or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's a figure eight.
And apparently Vince McMahon thought that would go over like gangbusters. Just like that reference.
No. He knew exactly how it would go over. Cause he thought it would be great to drain the energy of the audience. Why? I don't know. Other than he doesn't like Sasha.
Clearly does not like Sasha at this point, and I don't understand why. She's literally money in the bank.
I get it.
Yeah.
He's Nintendo.
Hey, don't. Don't you put that evil on him. Don't put the evil on Nintendo, let me say.
Too late.
So Sasha taps out with seconds to go. They do sudden death, which we all knew they were going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, the writing was on the wall. And then, of course, Charlotte keeps her stupid ass... I only win at pay-per-view streak going mm-hmm. and becomes, what, a 13-time world champion? She's tied her father
Four.
At this point, hasn't she?
She's getting close.
Remember, like, a couple months ago when I said this is getting really dumb that she would only win at pay-per-views and they're going to keep that streak alive for no reason?
It's like, to them, it sounds like it's their version of the Undertaker streak.
I literally, like, I remember whenever they first started doing this, like, oh, she's going to win it at pay-per-view, but then Sasha's going to win it at Raw. I remember saying this is going to get really old really fast, and I did not think it was going to get this bad.
Well, the first time they did it, I kind of understood it. The second time they did it, I was like, okay, lightning strikes twice, and I thought there's no way they're going to do it this time, mm-hmm. and then they did it.
And
exactly,
they keep doing it.
Exactly. Like, Charlotte looks like $1 billion again because she comes out all good looking. Sasha is covered in blood and beaten. Once again, Charlotte looks like a piece of garbage. She's down the card. She gets to feud with Nia Jax now, thank God, to get squashed by her.
Because they finally remembered, oh yeah, we set up that feud a few weeks ago.
And, you know, Dalton, something that I was going to ask you about, but then I found out anyway, but I'll ask you anyway. The fact that Charlotte, because everyone said, well, they come out looking strong because they're trading the title back and forth, you mm-hmm. know? But Sasha has never defended the title successfully, ever.
Yeah.
In the three reigns she's had as champion, she has never defended the title successfully.
Yeah.
How terrible does that make her look?
Like, not
even
at Raw?
No.
Well, she's only wrestled Sasha.
Yeah.
She's only wrestled Charlotte.
Every time she wrestles Charlotte for the rubber match or for the three match, she loses. Every time. How terrible does that make Sasha look?
It makes her look horrible. It was the whole thing with Nakamura. It'd be like, yeah, we gave the belt to the person that everybody's going to love. First defense loses it. It makes no sense. And then, okay, well, she's gonna get, now she's gonna be a two-time champion. Okay, cool. So she's gonna, no, she lost it again. Alright, we're gonna give her a third one in a false count anywhere match. It's gonna be brutal. It's gonna look awesome. And then she's gonna hold the belt for one more week. And here's the thing. So the women's belt has only been around since March.
Yeah.
We have a four-time champion and a three-time champion.
In less than a year.
This is the hardcore belt. 9 months.
Is it 9 months?
Yeah, because it came out in March, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How terrible is that? And what is the thought process behind this? Allie, you're a woman, obviously.
Yeah.
This is the whole women's revolution thing going on. Do you feel like they're empowered through this? Or do you feel like this is just, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Sasha and Charlotte?
I
feel like maybe you can give us a spin that maybe we don't see.
I don't think so, because to me, it's not a women's wrestling. It's an issue in women's wrestling, but I don't think this has to do with them being women. It's just bad writing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is that,
yeah,
is it bad writing, or is it, you know, it's just bad writing?
It's just that's bad the only writing. Reason.
Whether they're men or women, it doesn't matter. It's bad writing.
The only two big differences are now they're actually letting them wrestle for longer than 2 minutes.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's no longer just
Sasha
the,
and Charlotte.
I mean, Becky and Alexa get
on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, if you can even find another women's match on Raw.
The Charlotte Bailey match went longer.
I didn't watch it. I don't know the results because I haven't even read. Mm-hmm. But let me take a guess. Bailey got some kind of a fluke win that's going to piss off Charlotte so she can clamor for a rematch, and then they'll fight for the title at the pay-per-view.
Ding, ding, ding.
I call shenanigans that you didn't read results.
Is that actually what happened?
Yes.
That's how easy it is to book WWE at this
point. And then, so I mean, they're at least treating them with respect in the sense that it's not throwaway matches and they're getting Hell in a Cell matches and main eventing pay-per-views and Falls Count Anywhere matches instead of bra and panties matches or mud wrestling. Cause you know, if this was the Attitude Era.
That's what it would be.
It wouldn't have been an Iron Man match. It would have been a
Iron
Jell-O
match.
It would have been a Jell-O match or something ridiculous.
I agree with you 100% there. I just think it's a shame that Charlotte has been booked to look like a monster and Sasha has basically been booked to look like she got lucky. She got lucky again. She got lucky a third time. But the queen's back on her throne.
They cut it from Raw or they cut it from the Hulu and YouTube clip. But New Day talking about you can't be a 16-time champion without losing it 15 times, and Big E's. And at this rate, Charlotte will be that in 4 months.
Yep.
Someone on Reddit even said that if Ric Flair had won his championships at the pace that that Charlotte is,
oh my God,
he would be a 209-time champion.
I'm surprised Triple H didn't hit that mark. I know, and I want to say, first off, that I know this isn't true, but is there a little sting that they posted that Black Excellence picture, and then a week later, all but one has lost their title?
I want to say, with the way that they were treating New Day and Sasha, I'm not saying it was a concentrated, screw you. I feel like it was probably just an added bonus for Vince.
Yeah.
But
that's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I can't express to you the anger that I felt watching the pay-per-view live here at 709 Broadway.
It was very real.
It was very real.
We
were mad because they're like, there's no way they're going to go with this bullshit ending that we know is going to happen. And they did anyway. So there's roadblock for you in a nutshell. Oh, also the New Day lost.
Finally.
And you know what the worst part about that was is they did it right after they got the streak. Like if they would have kept on, cause I was talking to Ace, if they would have kept the belt for 2 more weeks, and then Sheamus and Cesaro won it on Raw, which would have popped the ratings. It would have been day 500.
Well, again, that's
which would have been a lot better.
Yeah, but it's I forget who it was in the group chat that said it was either Cody or Hunter, but they said that the title record was just the death for them.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
You knew it. You knew they were only going to hold it as they were either going to get screwed out of it or they were only going to hold it as long as to get it, and then now it's gone.
Yeah.
Which again, it's so telegraphed that it's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's so obvious.
And honestly, I wasn't a huge, I loved the match was really good. It was a really good match. And I absolutely loved the finish of Cesaro faking the hot tag. I thought that was awesome.
It was smart.
It was so smart. And they even mentioned it on Raw. They out New Day the New Day. The problem I have with it was the follow through. And it was just New Day was business as usual. There was no, especially with the fact that they've been teasing the heel turn.
The way they coveted those titles, you thought there would be a bigger reaction.
Yeah, and it was just, okay, we lost, but we'll get it back.
Well, didn't they even hug? You said they hugged Cesaro?
Yeah, they were all hugged. Because it was after they cleared the ring of Gallows Anderson and Primo and Epico.
One of those things is not like the other.
Yeah. And then Sheamus, ripped the belts off of Cesaro. And then they gave him the new belts. After New Day holds the championship for 483 days.
Isn't that great?
Days.
I did like Kofi's comment of just like,
you guys have had it for a day.
And gave him new belts. We had to hold those old copper ones around.
Well, they finally got the belt off. No. It's so easy to assume that they're racist and they took the belts off the black guys. Now we can give them new belts, new shiny belts. They deserve those. It's so easy to want to go to that level, and I'm not going to because I don't think that's true. Yeah. I don't think race played a part in this at all. It's just business.
But it's the Vince McMahon history, you know.
And what do you do with the New Day at this point, though? They chase the titles endlessly?
I don't think they need to. The New Day didn't need the belts. They could have lost the belts a year ago and been fine. They just had them for the record as a screw you to Demolition for trying to sue us. I'm 100% willing to bet that's what that was about. Mm-hmm. The New Day doesn't need the tag belts. They're entertaining enough on their own if they are given a meaningful feud. At this point, I don't know who they're really left to feud with
taken on everybody.
Yeah. And they've beaten everybody. The only thing I've seen is, bring up the Revival.
Yeah.
No flips, just fists against, top guys, the real men against Goofy New Day. I think that would be a really entertaining program. But at the same time, I think SmackDown needs the Revival more.
It's an entertaining program, but you can almost guarantee that where this is going to go is that New Day breaks up. This will be the beginning
of the
breakup.
That's what I told Dalton when we were watching it. Or not you. Dalton wasn't even here. That's what I told you when we were watching it. So is this when we get the Shield breakup of...
Yeah, of the New Day.
Xavier Woods swings Francesca, Kofi, or Big E. Because I don't want to see that.
It's going to happen, though, because, their thought process, I guarantee you, their thought process is either break them up or continue having them chase the title. And they've already had the title for 400-plus days.
There's actually a third option, which I'm really hoping for. Put Kofi or Big E after the Universal Championship. Keep them as a group. Have one of them go after the Universal Championship. Have one of them go after the Intercontinental Championship.
Which, it would have to be Big E going for the Universal, because I think he's the only one they even see as a main eventer.
Which is sad because Kofi's so good.
Well, so is Xavier.
Yeah.
Personal friend.
But he's newer. That's the only reason because that match they had against Rollins and Reigns, Woods was in there with Reigns for some time and looked good against Reigns.
But
so.
I think if you're looking at the three of them,
Biggie's definitely the one that
Biggie's the one that stands out. You can tell Vince McMahon probably has the biggest erection for him.
Yeah.
With the muscles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Kofi's been in there for so long, I just don't think they see him as viable anymore. I don't mean he's not.
I think they could.
I just think that's how they see him. And then Xavier Woods, there's a part of me that thinks he'll always be shunned in a way because of the video game stuff, because of unicorns and stuff like that. Vince is definitely looking at him going, I don't understand
you. Vince McMahon has a framed portrait of him on a unicorn in his living room. That is, you're looking at me like I'm nuts, but it's true.
A framed picture of Xavier Woods?
No, of Vince McMahon. It's painted of him on a unicorn.
How do you know that?
Someone mentioned it on Reddit, and then someone also was talking about they went to a political fundraiser for Linda McMahon, and it was there. They've seen it.
It's a thing. Also, Xavier Woods.
Plus, look at all the money he's making them between the YouTube channel, because I'm willing to bet.
That's funded.
It's funded, so I'm willing to bet that Xavier Woods is not keeping all of that money.
Oh, no.
If it was his own personal YouTube channel, probably. But, they're using WWE guys. His shirts are on shop.com. Plus, look at all the New Day merch.
Yeah.
He's making them a lot of money, and they have to see that. Plus, he's an awesome wrestler.
Zack Ryder made him a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Ryder is always...
And now I'm sad.
Ryder is always the answer to when you go, these guys are over, so he clearly has to see that. Well, Zack Ryder was over.
Super popular, made him a lot of money. Zack Ryder.
Xavier Woods is 205 pounds, so it would be very easy to see one of them going for Universal, one of them going for US, and then one of them going for Cruiserweight.
I still feel the Cruiserweight title, though, is almost the way they present it still is a slap down from the main title.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's the thing, is they would have to acknowledge the fact that the Cruiserweight title is a part of Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're the, and which would be.
Because right now they're lepers, basically.
Which would be so easy to do, but they are, it is absolutely segregated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are, I said lepers. You said segregated.
Because there are the wrestlers and then there are the 205 guys.
Yeah. There, it's like when WCW came over, you had your superstars and your stars.
Yeah.
They literally only referred to WCW wrestlers as stars mm-hmm. because they didn't want them to outshine the superstars of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if Vince McMahon can make money. He will take the low road almost every time.
If he doesn't like you.
Guaranteed. Yeah. Also coming out of Roadblock, Roman Reigns did not win. There was a Shield reunion again where him and
it still
Seth
bugs
Rollins.
Me. It still bugs me that they have done nothing to address the fact that Rollins, like, Rollins and Reigns are just friends now.
Yeah, they're besties. Again. Yeah,
it's gross.
I get it. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Sure. Except when the enemy of your enemy was your friend and then hit you with a chair and betrayed you once already.
Right.
That point, they shouldn't
they
be your friend
They screwed
anymore.
You out of the championship multiple times.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
But that's fine. They expect you to have the memory of a gnat.
They want you to remember the Shield and now, but not that in-between part.
And what else?
Also, Roman is still feuding for the championship. They're putting Jericho in Ellering's shark cage.
This is going to end with Roman Reigns beating Kevin Owens for the title.
I did like that bit, though, where it was Mick Foley, Kevin Owens, and Chris Jericho at the beginning of Raw. Whenever, like, he was tricking Chris Jericho into it, and he was just like, no, make sure it locks. I want to make sure it shuts. And then it Owens was like, make sure you're outside of the cage first.
No, get out of the cage, though.
Yeah, get out of the cage.
Get out of the cage.
Here, if Roman Reigns loses the U.S. title anytime soon, mm-hmm. it is over for Kevin
Owens.
See,
and that's the thing, is like, why he barely...
he's so proud of it.
He barely brings it out with him.
At the pay-per-view? He's so wears it so proudly.
Mm-hmm. As he just has it draped over his shoulder, which apparently Luke Harper got into trouble with. Because that's how he carried the Intercontinental Championship.
Has he ever defended it? Nope.
Yeah. He's had a couple defenses, but not many.
So we're going to say no. He has had less than Dean Ambrose with the U.S. belt.
There have been there's been multiple times he's come out to the ring without it.
If you think there's no problem with the writing in WWE now and how they treat their champions, just think of the fact that in the span of 7, 8 months, 9 months, Charlotte and Sasha are 4-time and 3-time champions of Roman Reigns is what, a 3-time champion?
3-time world champion. Yep. Yeah.
3-time champion at this point. Think about that. Within the span of a year, 2 years, 3-time champion.
And AJ Styles' one reign, which just hit 100 days, is longer than all three of Roman's 3 title reigns.
They don't know how to book. They don't know how to book anymore. And I don't know if it's the writers or if it's Vince McMahon that's just making the bad calls, but they don't know what they're doing anymore. There's no reason that the title should be treated with such apathy of just give it to whoever. It doesn't matter. Give it to that person. This person needs a push. Give them the title.
Yeah. And then
I'm not even angry yet. We haven't even got to total nonstop deletion.
The only other big thing the two other big things, I guess you could say, that happened was,
Neville.
I guess there's been three.
Neville came back,
and he has been great. On Raw, he was awesome. His promo as a heel was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, there was intensity, there was legitimate anger.
Which it like, should be.
Really entertaining.
Yeah.
The problem was when he came back and took out Rich Swann and TJ Perkins, the two biggest faces of the Cruiserweight division, and the crowd's reaction was, thank you, Neville.
Yeah, because
stop it.
So we were at the store today, and I was talking to Asa, and I was like, so how do you like Neville? And then before he opened his mouth, I was like, let me rephrase that. How do you like what he's doing and how the crowd's reacting? Because that's like one of my favorite times that Neville has been on TV was NXT whenever Sami Zayn and him were going back and forth from the NXT. Because they were both just super baby faces. And then you start seeing Neville kind of start becoming a lot more underhanded where he was just like, no, I'm going to lose my belt to this guy. I'm going to start being a little bit more.
He turned a little dickish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really loved the work he did with that because it was very subtle. This is not subtle at all. He's very much like,
in your face.
He is angry.
And I love the way Brian Kendrick is playing it up too.
Brian Kendrick
is playing it up because he's clearly scared of Neville. So he's just sucking up to him.
Yeah.
And Neville's just having none of it.
Whenever we were doing a Cruiserweight Championship, I was asking, where's Neville? Why isn't Neville here?
So was everyone else.
Yeah.
Also, want to point out, I think someone in the chat said that on SmackDown, when Baron Corbin was beating up Dolph Ziggler, which, by the way, mm-hmm. is another god-awful why.
Again.
We've never seen it before.
Shut up. You take your stupid sweater and shut up. But at that, the crowd was chanting one more time. Whenever Corbin laid out Ziggler, the crowd chanted one more time at him.
It's almost down. Like you keep making him lose.
Is there anything else from Roadblock? What
said,
was the other two
and
things?
He said, like in that promo, he was like, I put my career on the line for that Intercontinental Championship. What do you think I'll do for the World Championship? What else is there? Put your life, like.
No, literally put your life on the line?
Yeah.
Go fight a bitch.
I'll go play in traffic.
I mean, why didn't no one point out to him? I mean, you had the title shot before you had the Intercontinental title shot.
Yeah.
And you lost it then.
You couldn't beat the guy who lost the title.
Yeah.
You
couldn't beat AJ Styles by himself. You're going to beat AJ Styles and Baron Corbin, the other guy you could never beat?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so in the weeds with Dolph Ziggler.
One of the things was Sami Zayn lasting 10 minutes with Braun Strowman. Excuse me. And when I say lasting 10 minutes, it's really he lasted like 6.5.
And then Mick Foley came out.
Because like
stall.
3 minutes of that was just him like begging Foley not to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
And then threw the towel himself, and it was kind of dumb.
It was the whole paper.
It was entertaining because I'm a big fan of both Strowman and Zayn, which I finally realized why I was always so confused calling Braun Strowman Braun Stowman, because that was his name, his first two appearances in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
They changed it to Strowman just somewhere along the line. He was talking about that on one of the Jericho podcasts that he did.
I would have called him Braun Strongman.
That would have been a little bit too much on the
You know what Arnold Schwarzenegger's first name was when he came to America?
Strong Guy.
Arnold Strong. Literally, in his first movie, he was labeled as Arnold Strong, and they had to dub over his voice.
He's like, well, so what's your last name? Arnold Schwarzenegger. What was that? Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, he looks strong.
Yeah, no, it's going to, okay, just write it out. It's fine.
That's the same, and he couldn't. They asked him to write it out, and he couldn't strong. Write it out. He also fought a bear in that movie. Dalton, go back to your point.
Which one?
I don't know, follow up that. Follow up Arnold Schwarzenegger being Arnold Strong fighting a bear.
He has a Hall of Fame ring, and Owen Hart doesn't.
So does President-elect Donald Trump.
And Owen Hart. Oh, that just makes me more angry.
But then the other thing, which is good news, it's happy news, at least for me. Chris Jericho helped save his best friend Kevin Owens' championship reign, and they're best friends again.
No. I hate it.
I love it.
I hate it. I mean, I love them together, but my God, here you have a chance to keep a compelling storyline going.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho, and if Jericho feuded with Kevin Owens at this point, it would make sense,
mm-hmm.
and it would be something people were into, because there's a reason for it.
That's where it's going.
Stop cock teasing. Pull the trigger at some point.
Yeah.
Like, that is the WWE's problem, is they drag it out for months, and by the time they do it, you don't give a shit anymore.
The one they did like a couple weeks ago, where they pretended, and then they turned it on Roman Reigns. Like, that one was a little bit telegraphed, but this one really wasn't.
And that's why it upsets me.
Yeah.
It's like, you take something and then you put something in there that just goes against that logic completely,
mm-hmm.
but it was a swerve. You didn't see it coming. No, we didn't see it coming because it was making freaking sense.
Yeah.
I caught myself. You proud?
So proud.
It doesn't make any sense. Just go with Jericho versus Owens now while it's hot. Stop cooling it off. And then by the time you do it, people won't care. Dolph Ziggler, when it's hot, pull the trigger. Have him win the title. Don't cool him off to the point no one cares anymore, and then go, oh, but we're going to make him popular again. Like, I stopped caring 7 months ago.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Duh.
But I'm happy they're back together because they're golden.
They are gold together, but they could be gold together as enemies.
You see how good I am at kicking him? You kick him now.
I'm going to give you the hug, Kevin, of Jericho.
Bring it in, man.
What's the third thing? You said there were three.
That was it.
Oh, good.
Neville, Strowman, and the Jericho reunion.
I'm also going to say during that shark cage bit, the like following segment was Jericho backstage hyperventilating because he's afraid of heights. And Owens was just like, he needs oxygen. Somebody give him oxygen. The fact that nobody said somebody give him the air of Jericho.
Or so telling him to breathe it in.
Or breathe it in, man. Like, they... I
bad
could
writing.
Write...
Bad writing.
Because they missed the obvious joke.
Yeah.
It was the obvious joke. You can't even say that it wasn't.
So do you want to do the rest of the news and then end with
yes, that's
deletion?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Just build to anger.
Zack Ryder could be out 4 to 9 months. Speaking of Zack Ryder,
yep.
He had that over-the-top battle royal
yep.
for the tag team number one contendership,
mm-hmm.
which they won, and he hurt himself doing it.
Yep.
And the funny part about that to me, because it's not funny first off, like I love Zack Ryder. Everyone knows I'm a huge Zack Ryder fan. But seeing him on the apron hurt, and then Mojo Rawley, the big dumb animal, comes down swinging his giant monkey arms, and he's going to hug him, and Zack Ryder's like... No, Zack Ryder literally goes, no, don't. And Mojo Rawley just grabs him anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I could feel the anger from Zack Ryder at that moment.
Yeah.
I miss Hawkins.
Which, now that's a feud. Well, not really, because Mojo Rawley beat him in like 3 minutes. Zack Ryder said they should be the next tag team. Mojo and Kurt.
Mojo and Kurt?
Hypox.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, I don't like it either. Mostly because I hate Mojo Rawley.
Not a big Mojo fan.
Because someone asked him on Twitter how long he thinks they thought he would be out, and he said he's heard 4 to 6 months and 6 to 9 months. So,
anyway, I hope
4 to 9 months is the.
There's probably some tears in
it. Zack Ryder is, I've said it 1,000 times, he's that one guy that, like, if ever you want to see the bad side of wrestling, of where your dreams can take you, look up Zack Ryder. Here's a guy that did everything on his own and succeeded.
It's the brass ring bull. Yeah. I stopped myself, kind of.
I've said shit a couple times. You're good. You're good.
It's that brass ring where it's like, oh, no, go out and, you know, you got to go out and you make it happen.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He starts a YouTube channel.
Which was terrible, but funny.
But it was hilarious. Yeah. I still remember him trying to climb the fence.
Yeah.
Zach, what are you doing? I can't get over, bro. I can't get over.
The one where he has the book and it's a Zack Ryder figure. It's like, this is Zack Ryder. This is WWE. This is Zack Ryder and WWE not on the same page.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And then people started to pay attention and they were watching that. And then, you know, you start the We Want Ryder chants on Raw.
Loud.
And then they finally, like, and then his merchandise starts selling like nuts. And then
Allie told me the first day we met, I was wearing Zack Ryder merchandise.
Yep.
First day I ever met you also.
Wearing Zack Ryder merchandise.
He's got the catchphrase. Everything was there.
They
give him the US title match. They give him that run and then immediately have Cena and Kane completely cut his legs out from underneath him.
But then he got the storyline with Eve, which she then cut his legs out from underneath him.
Yeah, she kicked him in the balls.
Yes, yep. Ruining that. And then he kind of floundered, but then he won the Battle Royal to be the new, like, SmackDown GM for a night. Mm-hmm. Then nothing happened.
He won the Intercontinental belt at WrestleMania this year.
Oh, yeah, and they said, well, that's a moment. He'll always have that moment. Yeah, that's a... It's a great moment to have to lose it the next night.
Yeah.
Immediately.
It's like you talking about, you know, oh, that assist will keep me warm at night.
Yeah. That moment will keep me warm at night.
Yeah. That's why that line Cody Rhodes wrote about having, you know, a bag full of brass rings that he couldn't cash in.
Yeah.
It's just, it's heartbreaking.
And Zach's out 4 to 9 months. I mean, I don't think they'll release him because, you know, there's always the danger of them releasing people when they get hurt.
And
they will keep Zack Ryder forever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like him. For how they can use him, he's indispensable, really.
But he could be so much better. Like, I'm not saying he's a main eventer because I could never see him.
He could have been.
At one point, he could have been
like,
at least a contender.
And I'm not saying like a long-term main eventer. Like, I'm not saying, you know, he's a...
But my God, Great Khali was champion.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
There's all these ridiculous throwaway champions.
Fluke champions. Zack Ryder could have been one.
Yeah.
It could have sold a ton of merchandise at the same time. Mm-hmm. Zack's out 4 to 9 months. We'll keep you updated. Oh, we wish him the best, obviously. I know he's listening.
I mean, you talked to him on Twitter.
I have talked to him on Twitter.
You're welcome. I'll remind you.
I forgot. I talked to Mitch Pileggi. That's the one that blew my mind. Lesnar is suspended for a year from UFC, right?
Yeah.
Good.
And a $250,000 fine.
Good. Well, doesn't matter.
Because he was.
Which he made like millions of dollars on that fight anyway.
He was doped up.
Yep.
That is it. He was doped up for the fight against
Mark Hunt.
Yes, Mark Hunt. But WWE won't touch him still.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he wasn't technically their employee. Yeah.
God damn.
That fight was ruled a he no longer beat Mark Hunt. That was ruled a no contest.
Oh, did they really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, usually whenever it's something like that, they call it a no contest.
So now he did not win in the UFC. It is a no contest. He was fined $250,000 and he has a 1-year suspension, which the no contest one is the big one because that now it's, you know, he doesn't get to say, I won a UFC fight anymore because no, you didn't.
Right.
The $250,000 is a drop in the bucket for the amount of money that he made and Dana White made on that fight.
Right. Because they're not going to ask for that money back.
And the 1-year suspension is, again, nothing because he more than likely wasn't going to fight in the next year anyway.
I mean, this pretty much seals his fate in UFC, though. He's done in UFC, I would say.
I mean,
I can't see Dana White bringing him back.
Either. I can. Have you met Dana White?
Yeah, the amount of money that he made.
I don't know. At his age... And
the amount of money that he...
Randy Couture was fighting until he was almost 50.
This is... I'd love
somebody that's a lot more athletically gifted than Randy Couture. Yeah, I know.
Well, athletically gifted,
and
or
Couture was fighting a lot more frequently.
Chemically gifted.
Both.
C.
Yes. I would like to believe that a black guy this bad on the sport.
I have 3 words for you.
Mike Tyson?
John Bones Jones.
Thank you. I was just about to, you beat me to it. Beat me to it.
Argument done.
After about the third time they said, no, you're done. There was like cocaine and strippers a few times.
There was cocaine and a hit and run on a pregnant woman.
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
And he's still talking about his return date. I mean,
there were.
And that was like the last one. There was also one where like he was.
There was a time. You know?
Yeah, where like he hit a tree. I remember that under time. The like he was intoxicated whenever he hit a tree. Like it was, and then he like they were like, oh yeah, we'll bring it back until this most recent one, and then like a couple of years.
It's really like, you know, we talk about like Hulk Hogan. You know, oh, you're black, WWE will blacklist you for a time. And then nothing is bad enough for you to truly ever be blacklisted.
Except for that one.
I'm giving it until 2020. And I think he starts popping back up on the network.
Oh, 2020. My God. He'll be 70 plus.
What? Yeah.
You really think so?
I really think so.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't at Mania. We're talking about Hogan still, right?
No, we're talking about Benoit. No, we switched to Benoit.
Oh, if he's really?
Yeah.
He's,
yeah.
That happened.
because he said, except for the one thing. No, Hogan will be back well before that.
It should be, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, no, Hogan will be back probably by the end of next year. Because he's already kind of starting to show up again in commercials and...
But what about Benoit?
Like, 90% tangent. We're about to get there. We'll give us 1 second.
I really think that... And I'm not saying that they're going to celebrate his career. I don't think that they're going to do a Benoit channel. I don't think he's going to be added to the Hall of Fame.
But he will be mentioned.
I think that his name will no longer be... And I'm not saying for better or for worse. This is just purely
how
WWE works. I don't think they are going to, and really the only thing that I see him ever even coming up in is WCW and WrestleMania 20.
That triple threat match.
Well, when Triple H lost the title and Shawn Michaels was also there.
I think they're going to, but again, I
still think it's a few years away, but I think it'll happen eventually.
I don't think it'll ever happen.
Well, my question is like, what do you do with Jimmy Snuka if he's, I don't even think he's going to go to trial because apparently he only has 6 months to live, but it's more or less, I think at this point, the writing's on the wall that he probably killed that woman.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that was on the wall whenever he killed that woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they were able to pretend that he didn't.
But yeah. Now.
Well, he didn't speak English back then.
But now that's over. Pretenses are dropped. Jimmy Snuka is, what do you do with him now? Are they going to take him off the network? Are they going to blacklist him like they did Chris Benoit?
I mean.
Or Hulk Hogan, of all people? You know, murder and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A racial slur here or there. Like, which one's worse?
I will defend Hulk Hogan to the end on that because I really do think it's ridiculous that an 8-year-old tape of someone saying that years after, and whether you believe he's a born again Christian or not,
yeah.
I don't care. Like, that's not my business. But an 8-year-old tape should not blacklist someone.
Oh, no,
something
he said. I mean, we're all in agreement.
We all agree that. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like he should have been punished. I think he should have been punished, but the whole blacklisting thing is silly.
Because look at Noam Dar. Noam Dar faced zero consequences for the things he said. That
the
we brought up
thing.
On the show.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Zero consequences for that.
Yeah.
Iron Sheik.
Oh, yeah.
Still that's, around.
Yeah. That's the big one.
Sheik it's
and,
terrible.
Sheik and Warrior are Sheik, the precedents.
The Warrior is still the last thing you see in the new WWE then now forever thing. Oh, it's him raising his arms.
Yep.
The bigot idiot.
Wait until Hogan's. Well, when Hogan's back, that'll get replaced again.
Thank God. All right.
And to a different bigoted idiot. Just this one's alive.
Brother.
Oh.
Hey, UK tournament. Nigel McGuinness is a part of it. A lot of people are excited about that.
Yeah, well,
I haven't seen him since Desmond Wolfe in TNA.
Because that's pretty much one of the.
That's when he retired, right?
If you were following Ring of Honor, he was there a lot for doing things.
But he wasn't
wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing we talked about last week with World of Sport coming back to ITV and WWE trying to like kind of poach talent, turns out might have been. Not 100% accurate in the sense that William Regal told What Culture Pro Wrestling that there are no restrictions on the people used for the UK tournament. So it looks like maybe it's the World of Sport side of things saying, oh no, you can't be on other televised events.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't find an actual news source on how that works. But the way it sounds is WWE isn't going to prevent people from taking bookings while they're doing this tournament and or possibly the UK show.
I mean, it's the same thing with like Gargano and Ciampa.
But
for
more
a
than
lot,
likely, they're
time.
Going to end up like, oh, there's a show in Ireland. Well, that's the night of the taping, so you can do one or the other, and we take precedent. But so there is going to be the WWE United Kingdom Championship. Is going to be.
Don't they already have that? Isn't it called the European title?
I mean,
can I talk about my love for the European title now?
No.
Oh.
That is the most gorgeous belt they've ever made.
D'Lo Brown was the best champion.
You were wrong. That was X-Pac.
Is he doing a bit?
Anyway, no.
Is he doing a bit right now?
No. The inaugural champion will be crowned in a 16-man tournament over a 2-day period on January 14th and 15th, and it will air on the network. Let's see. Where did it go?
Let's go back to this X-Pac thing. Is it a bit?
No. X-Pac is like one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And I'm not, like, there's no, I'm being completely serious.
Is he doing a bit?
You're Allie? Looking at me and I, I'm
She doesn't
lost.
Know who X-Pac is.
I like X-Pac. Oh no, I mean, I showed her that tape with China. No, I can't.
Oh,
I can't.
Boo.
Boo.
But so it's, so they're, it's not only, they're, so they're doing a tournament, but it's also going to be a weekly network show.
Mm-hmm. On the network, filmed in England.
It filmed, yeah, it's all filmed in the UK.
So this is for people that want to see this particular thing and are paying tickets to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to 205 Live, which is tacked on to the end of SmackDown when everybody's already exhausted.
Yes.
Yay!
Which apparently last week's 205 Live was actually taped in front of Raw instead.
That's better.
Yeah. Because
then good, the crowd's yeah. hyped.
Yeah.
Because the crowd will always be hyped for Roman Reigns. But they might not be as hyped for, you know, Noam Dar or Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
You know?
Such a shame.
So,
guys.
No! Oh, man. I'm really happy you told me that because there was about to be some words.
The participants have been named. It's Tiger Ali, Joseph Connors, Jordan Devlin, Pete Dunne, H.C. Dyer.
Raise your hand when you know the guy he says.
James Drake, Sam Gradwell, Saxon Huxley, Roy Johnson, Dan Maloney, Ringo Ryan, Jack Stars, Trent Seven, Tucker, Tyler Bate, Chris Tyler, T-Bone, and
Tucker!
And Wolfgang.
Wolfgang!
I don't know a single one of those.
I don't either. And,
I'm pretty sure I know a Tucker somewhere.
I know Tucker and Dale.
I know a Tucker.
I know Del Tucker.
They fought Evil.
He fought Blaster.
Which, by the way, Blaster is gonna fight that little Cracker Jack of the Cody Wilson at the Cage Chaos. I got some words for Saltine. You steal my name, boy. You steal your life.
No, stop threatening them.
No, it's on.
The commentary team is Michael Cole and Nigel McGuinness.
Isn't Balor?
Balor was just there. He was because it was a press conference in the O2 Arena because they're like, hey, you're from around here.
you're from the area.
And you're not doing anything else.
You're not American, right?
We're doing this thing in San Diego. Well, this guy's from Sacramento.
So, he was a... it was him. It was Triple H, Balor, and Regal were there. Nigel McGuinness was there. Michael Cole was there.
Mm-hmm. Very cool to see Nigel McGuinness working with WWE. By the way, yeah. I'm a big fan of that.
Daniel Bryan had the most accurate and heartbreaking tweet about it. Crazy to think that Nigel McGuinness and myself are both in WWE, but neither of us can wrestle.
Yep. Mm.
So I don't like this. I like the idea of the tournament. That's fine, but to do a whole other weekly special.
I'm not
on board, especially considering. So now it's like, okay, well, why can't Neville show up over there or Finn Balor or
actually on board with this. I'm actually on board with this because this, and I think Dalton's going to agree with me. This is not them just filming another show in front of another show here in America. This is completely different. This is in England. This is going to be something for them that we just get to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more special.
I hope that's on board with this. I hope that's what it is, but when I look at how excited I was for the cruiserweights and then how that turned out and how they're treating them, it's hard for me to get excited.
I think it's different than if they were to bring those guys over here to have them wrestle in front of the Raw crowd and then tape it or whatever. I feel like this is actually going to be played up more as a special. This is the England guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is for that region. And they might do it with more regions. Imagine if we got a WWE-led Japanese, promotion or what if they teamed up with, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling or one of those guys.
I want that.
I'm just saying.
Because I know who those guys are though.
Yeah, I don't know any of these guys.
I don't mean to cut you off, quick. I think one of the benefits to this is think of how many times like Wade Barrett or Paige or someone has had problems with their visa.
Yeah.
So they couldn't come to America and they missed a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
So this could be a way of, you know, if they decide to do it like this, you know, this could be a way of kind of, you know, oh, we'll give them something to do. Briefly,
and plus, they're going to look like $1 billion. If you send Paige or Wade Barrett in front of that England crowd, they're going to cheer them like champions. They're going to be huge over there.
Yeah.
Just like when, I mean, of all people, Kenzo Suzuki, when they were in Japan, came out to a reaction for the first time ever.
And it'll be weird though, if they're all from England, how will Vince decide who to lose in front of their hometown crowd?
It's going to be confusing.
It's just a lot of double discounts.
Put William Regal in as the commissioner over there.
Keep him on NXT forever.
Make him do both.
Nigel McGuinness could be the commissioner of that.
That's true.
Subtract 15 years from Regal's life. Like, reverse his age 15 years, I mean. And then and then put the championship on him. Which championship? Yes. Okay.
Put the championship on him now.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things I wanted to say. I think what...
Right out of time. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So, if you've been watching What Culture Pro Wrestling.
I have not.
Well, no, and this is what I, like, it's very smart to do this solo show because the crowds for those are so hot. Like, they're they're so excited that they have wrestling that's happening a lot. And the crowd's gonna love it, and it's for them.
Right, like Stride. And now. Like CCW.
Yeah. So, and then you were saying, well, what's, like, why can't Neville go there? He very easily can because whenever NXT was as big as it was now, I remember going on Hulu to watch it. And like Rob Van Dam wrestled Aiden English one time. Yeah. I was super stoked for that. Seth Rollins, whenever he was still part of the Shield, was wrestling there. CM Punk made an appearance before. John Cena's made an appearance before. Sheamus destroyed Bray Wyatt whenever Bray Wyatt was at his hottest.
But how many of these kind of things have we seen for 205 Live and the Cruiserweight division?
Also, you might want to remember that TNA tried to do a an out of region promotion.
They did that tournament.
Well, there was the ring.
Oh, Rinka King.
Rinka King, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that apparently did well at first, but then they just kind of abandoned it eventually.
Because they couldn't afford to keep sending people to India.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of, is that they're going to abandon this UK tournament. Ali, I'm going to address this to you since you are so quiet. Do you think this is too much WWE TV per week, or do you think this is a good idea?
It's hard to say. Because it is quite a lot. I think that they're gonna do the same thing with this as they have with the cruiserweights isn't probably what's gonna happen because they're approaching this differently than they have. What they have laid out so far is different. They're not going on to another show to where people can, it'll be one match where they can be ignored. It's their own thing.
Yes, exactly.
They're already setting this up as its own thing. The Cruiserweights probably would have, if they wanted to do the 205 Live, if they would have just went straight to that without going to Raw, would have done so much better.
It's like NXT. Mm-hmm. But if they're going there specifically for 205, they'd be excited.
I think you're definitely right there in the fact that they should have probably just skipped the whole Raw thing and started with 205 Live.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, it reminded me, Jim Ross had a really interesting thought on the triple threat match from Roadblock, the Cruiserweight one, in that the Cruiserweight division as a whole has been marketed as a high-flying, like high-impact, fast-paced event. So whenever you have guys like TJ Perkins and Rich Swann and Brian Kendrick, who are fantastic technical wrestlers as well.
Right.
Working a slower, more submission-based style.
The crowd gets bored.
The crowd gets bored because it's not what they're expecting.
Yeah, they want high-flying action.
Which is...
They want all Rey Mysterio
equal,
all the time.
It's equal parts understanding and frustrating.
Yeah.
In the sense that, yeah, like, that's what you think of when you think Cruiserweight, so that's what you want to see. But it's, at the same time, it's frustrating because it's like, no, this is actually just great wrestling.
Right.
You know, you should be able to enjoy that as well.
Because wrestling is wrestling. Like, it's not a specific style. There are high flyers. There are technical. There are, you know, brawlers. That's the beauty of wrestling is when you get these guys together and you see different styles. I think the problem is, like you said, there's that style that you imagine. If the WWE promotes it as
Cruiserweight.
Yeah, here's the Cruiserweights. And then they show clips. Oh, look at them flying all around the ring. Remember WCW when they would jump everywhere?
You don't see a lot of Malenko.
Yeah, you never see Malenko. You know, and that's really bad for the wrestlers because they do such a good job.
Yeah.
And I hate,
and it's a
I hate
shame
watching
to see
the wrestlers
those...
get treated that way. You know, sitting on your hands, if you're listening to this and you go to a wrestling event, sitting on your hands and being quiet and watching the show quietly is the worst thing you can do in wrestling.
Unless you're in Japan.
Then it's respectful.
Yes.
Over here, it's like you can hear a pin drop in some of these matches, and that's bad. These guys are working their asses off.
The only thing worse is starting a JBL chant.
Or starting just any stupid chant.
Yeah.
Like, we were at the CCW show, and one of the guys, I think it was Caleb, was like, hey, we're going to start a CM Punk chant. And we were like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Like, no.
That's horribly disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. G1 Climax, nights 1 and 2 in Long Beach.
We stuck with a much more respectful Billy Sister.
Yeah.
at least it was appropriate for the time.
It pertained to the actual match, yes. Yeah.
Tell me about G1 Climax.
So the rumor was that the first two nights of New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1 Climax, was going to be in America.
Long Beach, California.
And then, Meltzer has gotten, I guess, more details in that they're looking at Long Beach, California. Which would be really cool. You might be a more, this one, you.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg's from there.
That's Sasha's cousin.
It is.
Vince forgot. That's why she keeps losing. Vince forgot she's related to a celebrity. But would this be one of the first times that New Japan actually taped or did a live broadcast of one of their big shows from not in Japan? From not the Tokyo Dome even?
Yeah. The only time they ever really do something is if they're teamed up with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Or Impact.
And Michael Elgin is out of Ring of Honor.
Yep.
Apart from any of those New Japan joint shows.
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
I don't think so. I just think his contract might have come up.
Speaking of...
Of course, Ring of Honor is kind of bleeding talent a little bit right now.
One thing you don't have on here, I do want to mention real quick, talking about contracts, Jerry Lawler's contract is about to expire with WWE. Mm-hmm. So the big rumor is they took him off because they're not going to renew it, other than maybe a Legends deal.
Oh, well.
I still think Jerry Lawler has earned his place in wrestling history.
Good. Yeah, give in wrestling history, contract. Yes, but not wrestling present.
Yeah, Legends contract is the best thing for him.
Yeah. Yep,
absolutely. Of Uncaged?
Oh, that is WWE released a collection of previously unreleased music.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not heard of this.
Let me. I'll pull up the track list. Yeah, because it's on Spotify and iTunes.
While he's doing that, we'll talk about Jerry Lawler for a second, because I know he gets a cold reception here due to his work that he's done in the past few years, like with commentary. But I truly feel like Jerry Lawler is one of the greats. His work in Memphis wrestling is
Does he have a Hall of Fame ring?
His what?
Does he have a Hall of Fame ring?
Yeah, and he went in with Jim Ross.
No, so he has his place.
And don't get me wrong, I like Jerry Lawler when he was full heel. Minus the puppies thing. I've always hated that.
Yeah, same. Terrible.
Like
sophomore humor.
As a commentary, like when he was doing commentary on the Attitude Era as full heel with Jim Ross.
He was great.
And
one of my favorite combos.
From there, oh yeah, it's still one of my favorite combos as well. From there and before, everything he did was amazing. And I'm a huge fan of Jerry Lawler. Everything after that has been terrible. And you can't say that he was a fantastic face commentator.
No, he wasn't. The only thing I liked that he has done since then. I did like his run with The Miz, even though I know it was ridiculous that Lawler and The Miz would feud because The Miz should not be feuding with a 60-year-old man. But I thought for what it was, Jerry Lawler held up his end more than he needed to.
Yeah.
And I thought he was great in that. But I just don't want people to listen to this thinking we're like, okay, good, get Jerry Lawler off. We have a respect for Jerry Lawler.
No, yeah, we have a great respect for Jerry Lawler who and what he's contributed, but his work on the pre-show was atrocious.
Yeah.
And really, I'm just still bitter about him and Michael Cole ruining the WrestleMania I was able to go to.
Was that the one where they fought?
WrestleMania 27 and that terrible, and then him blaming his heart attack on Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Even though maybe you shouldn't be wrestling when you're 150 years old.
Neither should Mae Young. You know,
Mae Young wasn't blaming people for injuries.
Well, she might have, you couldn't understand her.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like we can ask her now.
I got a Ouija board.
So the track list for Uncaged is Smack, which I think was the original SmackDown theme.
Smack!
Holla If You Hear Me, Scott Steiner's theme.
Oh.
The original Chris Jericho, Break the Walls Down. Oh. So, like, the one that he debuted with.
Yeah, awesome, good one.
Viva La Raza, Eddie Guerrero's theme. Desert Threat, Iron Sheik. Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat's theme, Dragon. Mm-hmm. Blazing Hot, Alundra Blaze.
Yeah.
The Horror, which is the Boogeyman's theme. Tatanka's Buffalo. Mean Street Posse's theme.
I love the Mean Street Posse.
I have a new ringtone.
Star of Vega, Savio Vega. Bam Bam Bigelow's Hardwood. Tajiri's theme. Dan Severn's theme.
Dan Severn.
Whoa, all right. That one's an awesome theme.
It is, but man, that's one I didn't expect
to hear.
That's
a deep cut.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut. And then, acoustic versions of I Walk Alone and Voices.
That might actually be pretty. Is it done by Saliva?
It just says acoustic and Jim Johnston. It could have just been him. But
I would love Saliva. What's the other one? Rev Theory, I think, is the guy that
does Rev Theory does voices. Yeah. The I Walk Alone one, I can already picture just all of the videos with that playing and Batista like highlight reels because it actually sounds pretty. It sounds pretty cool.
And that's a good theme too.
Yeah.
Like I always like that theme. That's pretty cool. I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah.
Foley head hip surgery.
Well, he's.
But I thought Dude Love was. Sorry.
That was the best comment I've seen on Reddit in a really long time. Mick Foley's having hip replacement surgery. Dude Love was Mick Foley's hip replacement.
But thanks, Internet.
I don't know when apparently he was supposed to be gone for a month, but he stuck around on Monday to help continue that Sami Zayn storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's scheduled to have hip replacement surgery soon. And as much as I dislike his character right now and how they're using him, I mean, clearly, I wish the best for him.
Mick Foley's, to me, he's like Jerry Lawler. I have not been a fan of his work in years.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like, he's...
You have an appreciation for what he's done.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that is someone who, you know, that is the poster child. That is the poster child of someone who has given up his body for the rest of his life for the business.
Yeah. But it's finally starting to look like his body may be upswinging because he's lost a lot of weight.
He's lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
He's getting that hip fixed. Hopefully we won't have to see him walk as.
I mean, he's still doing that DDP and he's still like, and it's all DDP yoga. Like he credits that.
And you know, I would not be surprised to see his daughter in WWE at some point. Like,
I mean, she's already kind of working with them.
Yeah. In
not
places.
Just, and not she, just the, Holy Foley or whatever it's called.
Like she, you know, not to get any kind of offensive or anything. I'm not going to, but she is everything that WWE would look for. She's ridiculously attractive, insane body, grew up with wrestling. Like, how is she not on their list?
And plus that whole bit of her crying in the front row whenever The Rock was decimating it. Like, that's a good, not a great story, but like,
it's so weird to think that, cause I have her on Instagram and it's so weird to see her on Instagram and think that's the little girl that was crying in the front row. You know, years ago, like, man, where does time go?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Hulk Hogan, and he's as orange as ever.
And you're like, man, nah, I don't have anything mean for that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I stopped myself.
I'm weak today. Emelina is not coming to Raw anytime soon, probably.
More than likely. That's fine. Meltzer was talking about how that has just literally just turned into an inside joke.
What a waste.
Yeah, she is, like... But other than the four horsewomen, she's one of the top female talents to come out of NXT. In a really long time.
And,
like,
and I agree with you. And that's from someone who did not like Emma. When she came out and did the Santino thing and the face.
Oh, because they killed her with, they killed
her
with Santino.
I thought she was terrible. I thought she was just god awful and embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Then she did the It's All About Me.
Yeah.
She put the glasses on and the purple lipstick and the gloves and she did the thing when the music cued.
Do.
She's so good. And of course they, instead of doing that, they're just like, well, we're going to rebrand her as the sexiest thing that ever sexed.
I still am.
That's
holding...
cool, because she is sexy. So I agree. Let's do that. Fine. No, that's a joke, too. But why?
Yeah, I was still really holding out hope that she was still just going, like, they were going to tease that, like, oh, she's going to come back as the old school, like, pre-Women's Revolution, just, oh, she's pretty, and she's a thing to look at, not an actual wrestler. And then her just come out and be like, no, that's stupid. And then just goes, just like she didn't miss a beat.
Dustin Rhodes in 7.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Or why not do both? Like, why can't she be the beautiful, oh, look at me, but actually kicks ass? And I'm not talking about in the Eva Marie sense of, you know, they're going to push her as she kicks ass, but really she doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But as just a, yes, I'm basically a supermodel, but watch me beat everybody up. That's what they're doing with Paige VanZant in UFC. They're playing her off as, oh, look at this gorgeous woman, but she can kick your ass legit. Trish Stratus, to an extent, had that of supermodel good looks, but she could really go. Why not embrace that? Even like Adrian Adonis, who they put as this really effeminate, oh, he's basically gay, make fun of him, haha. But when he got in the ring, he beat the shit out of you.
Yeah. Oh, and an amazing body.
That was the gimmick. Like, why not embrace that? Because we don't have that in WWE now. We don't have a woman that is basically, yes, I'm a supermodel, I'm Rick Martel, but look at me go. You know, there's people that are beautiful that can wrestle, but they don't push it that way.
Wait a minute.
Never
mind. Which
is fine. Like, I mean, I like it. I like them doing more moving forward for as actual wrestlers as opposed to just like the calendar shoot. Cause remember, it wasn't even that long ago. Like, you know, as early as like Trish and Lita where they were still like, they were having amazing matches, but there was still, oh, and here's some behind the scenes from their calendar photo shoot.
Yeah.
Every single week. And it has been years since we've seen that, thankfully.
I agree, but I'm not a woman. So I don't know if Allie, you tell me, if stuff like that, is that embarrassing? Is that empowering that they present you as, look how beautiful I am? Like, what is the mindset of a woman? Because I can't answer it. I don't want to insult anyone by trying to.
If you are being told to do something, it's not empowering. If you are choosing to do it, it's empowering.
And I highly doubt they're giving them a choice.
Yeah, I doubt they're, I mean, and maybe we're wrong. Maybe Emelina's like, hey, what if I want to do this? Although if you listen to her Twitter, that's not
what happened.
Well,
you remember what they used to do with women in WWE before, like breast implants were almost mandatory.
Yeah.
You know, and like that wasn't a choice. I mean, I'm sure it was a choice in the sense of, do you want to keep the job?
It's the same choice that you get like, okay, well, you could resign.
Right.
Or.
You could do what we want.
Yeah.
And that's terrible. I'm glad they moved away from that. I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think there's a place in wrestling for
like one. Like if it's not like if they keep it to her, I don't think it's as bad as opposed to okay, the entire division. Now we have to watch Bayley.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and on the flip side, they could have done the same thing with someone like Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
Of look how gorgeous I am. Gorgeous. I come out and I dance. But at the same time, like in NXT, they presented him as yes, he's gorgeous, but then he can really go in the ring. Look how great he is. But when they brought him up to WWE, it just became look, I'm arrogant and a narcissist. Yeah. And then they dropped the fact that he was so good.
But now he's part of the fashion police.
Which is insulting in its own way.
Do you think it should be deleted?
No, we got one more thing
for you. I just want to get to it.
Miz and Renee on Raw.
SmackDown.
Sorry. I just think this is important because now they're trying to do the thing where they're blurring the lines again of reality and...
Because they have to keep moving it away from... They think they can catch that fire of Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That real life, like, oh, this kind of cuts deep. Well, let's try to put it on Ziggler. Okay, that didn't work as well. So now we're just going to try it with Ambrose.
They just keep rolling to this fourth wall break that's getting really old.
Not only is it really old, I found it insulting. Miz's comment to her was, when she asked, what's your obsession with Dean Ambrose? And his reply was, well, what's your obsession with Dean Ambrose? You're the one sleeping with him. That's terrible.
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to write and say. And not only from the fact that, like, this is supposed to be PG, like, just from that angle, it's supposed to be PG. You're talking about who she's sleeping with. But at the same time, whose business is it of anybody's who she's sleeping with?
Which, and I get the line that, okay, well, this just kind of totally endears him to this fact that he's despicable. You know, he's totally disrespectful. You want to see, you want to see Dean Ambrose to kick his ass.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it feels gross.
When Paige told Charlotte about her dead brother.
Yeah.
Of course, it makes her look like scum, but is there not a better way to write a bad character than to go to the low road?
Yeah. And I can't remember if it was a prowrestling.net or some other summary that I think put it very well in the sense that making Renee Young an actual character in a storyline is real dangerous because that really kind of can compromise her integrity as an unbiased reporter, because that's what she is in WWE right now. And she's a commentator who does not, you know, she sides with the faces because, you know, that's what most commentators will, because that's the common sense of, well, yeah, but he cheated.
Right.
You know, that's how you report it. And so it kind of, you know, it's a thin line.
And that's the exact same place we were put in when we first started working with Cape Championship Wrestling. Because at first, you know, myself especially, because I bought into the hype, I wanted to be a part of the show kind of. And we actually tweeted at some of the wrestlers or, you know, Facebooked them. And we kind of took a stance of, oh, we're going to defend our boy Hunter Hendricks. But then very quickly realized that you can't do that and be journalists at the same time. Like, that's a fine line to walk. So we backed out of it because us being characters in a promotion where it makes no sense or point for us to be characters.
Right. Especially when we're not really characters.
Exactly. We're fans. We're just us.
Yeah.
So I agree that it's bad to put Renee Young in that position. Yeah. But if you're going to put her in that position, at least write it better than, oh, who are you banging?
Yeah.
Haha, look at you. You have sex. You're an adult. Moron.
What a freak.
What a weirdo. Bet you like boys.
So... Really quick before we do this, my favorite thing
ever.
No,
not even close.
Every week you get farther and farther away.
My favorite thing is just hearing Luke Gallows say nerds.
Oh yeah, him coming out on Raw.
Well, that's all we got for tonight. I think we're all done. So yeah.
Okay.
We'll click out of here.
I feel itchy.
We're going to delete the rest of the show.
You okay?
It's like itch and I don't know, itch weed.
You've been in the weeds lately? Is that an itch weed?
Yeah, it might be an itch weed.
Oh, all right, let's talk about it.
Ah,
we have 3 minutes. Let's extend this 3 minutes into 30.
Got this baby on my back.
I was going to say, are we going to talk about the most elaborate baby announcement of all time?
I forgot about that.
Worse than the Gilmore Girls. Spoilered.
I haven't seen any of that, so.
Sorry. So, total nonstop deletion was last Thursday.
Yep.
And it was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen as a wrestling fan.
You hated it.
If you were one of those wrestling fans that are listening to this going, well, Shannon's old school, of course he disliked it. I loved it. I thought it was revolutionary or whatever. Stop listening. You are not going to like me from this point on.
I hated it.
It was
I'm the one that actively has been defending.
You and I liked the first
Final Deletion.
We thought it was funny. See, Asa wasn't on board with it.
And I really disliked this one. And so I didn't like this one as much. Like, there was a lot of stuff that I thought was just too much, but I didn't hate it.
I hated it. Because the first one, like, the Final Deletion was very much a over-dramatic, you know, kind of story, but it wasn't downright insulting to your intelligence. This was downright insulting to your intelligence. We had crazy Steve and Abyss literally murdering people.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You're going that far into the show. We had Rockstar Spud lose to a baby.
That at least made a little sense because
with amazing ring presence, by the way.
Because he
does. Yeah, that baby's gonna go places. He's more over than Zack Ryder.
It's not true. All 50 of the crowd cheered him.
50 people in the crowd, 20 teeth between them.
It was North Carolina.
Dang it, you suck.
All right, so let's start from the beginning. Yeah, Maxwell beat somebody. So literally, we have a one-year-old.
That wasn't the beginning. No, and you want to talk about insulting to your intelligence because, and this will just be my take on it. I don't think that any of this was presented as real. This wasn't an actual athletic contest. None of these matches were truly, you know, yes, the tag team championship was on the line. And with the exception of,
and the heavyweight title
of the heavyweight title and, the Sienna ODB match, like the matches themselves, like the outcomes were okay. I don't know what I'm trying to say there.
The premise?
The premise of it was, the matches themselves were, yes, okay, this is a wrestling thing. But everything wrapped around it and like the other bits was clearly just...
Turd?
Just like, it's over the top. This is not an actual like, not canon. I don't know. I can't think of the right wording
canonical.
To use. Yeah, it's not canonical.
But it was.
Like, it kind of exists outside of the realm of wrestling.
But it didn't, because they presented it on TNA Impact. It was the show that they're presenting with their characters. Top to bottom, was the god-awful, most worst thing that I've ever seen in my life when it comes to wrestling.
I hated it, but Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret said it perfectly in his review, is this concept album.
There's nothing to defend on this. To me, there's nothing to defend.
That was the best explanation of what this was. It was a concept album. It was Matt Hardy's concept album for what a wrestling show would be. I don't ever want to listen to another album. I didn't like this album.
What upsets me though is there are people out there that are saying this is brilliant. They're like, oh, this is the most fun I've had watching wrestling in forever. Part of that was fun?
If
for you
had fun watching it, good.
No, not good. But this was that awful. This was the kind of awful that like, this is Idiocracy. This is what we're heading towards.
It's what the plants crave.
This is just there's no one in the world that should look at this and go, there was any part of this that was good. Like, which part did you like better? King Maxwell winning?
Wait a minute.
Did you like the boat interrupting a pin? And then they beat up the boat?
All right, that, I giggled a little bit at that.
Well, of course you giggle. I giggle at the dumbest shit too. But it doesn't mean that it should be presented on my television.
And now what I said is, if you enjoyed this, that's fine. I didn't say that this was good wrestling. Like, I did not like it. I did not think it wasn't good wrestling. I didn't enjoy it.
The premise was good. The premise was good.
It was neat. Like,
crazy. Here's what I thought it was going to be. Crazy Matt Hardy invites tag teams to his compound
and be like,
wrestle.
What the hell is this?
And like, they're like, what the hell? Okay, there's weird things happening. Mm-hmm. What I did not expect was flat out fucking magic from, you had Itchweed coming out, who's Jeff Hardy, not on drugs, but pretending to be on drugs with a weed eater. And
so
he's weed eating
Hardy.
The guy from his point of view. First off, you had Maxwell pin somebody. You had a boat get involved with a match. You had a lake that turned people into different people. You had murder. This was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
This sounds like one of your horror movies.
But I'm not going to lie. You doing that description makes me want to watch it again.
because it wasn't even presented in a fun way. The camera cuts were terrible.
The camera cuts were rough. The editing all around.
The editing
was
awful.
But you have to keep in mind,
the acting was awful.
But this was done because TNA could not afford to actually do an actual Impact.
But see, I think
Matt Hardy's like, hey, I got a bunch of space. I can build a dirt mound. You know, the dirt mound that Jeff Hardy fell off of that started this whole thing? Like, we can turn that into a volcano.
A volcano. Which, by the way, Crazy Steve fell into the volcano, which shot him up into the air, into the ring for Matt Hardy to pin him. Fuck you. Fuck everyone involved with this thing. This was the fucking worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
You know we're only allowed at three of those words, and you've already went to four.
I'm breaking every rule tonight.
So,
it's my concept podcast.
So my favorite part was, it was the exact opposite of the Hardy Boys run, where like Matt would do all the moves and then Jeff got the pin. Jeff threw Crazy Steve into the volcano and then Matt got the pin. Good for him. He finally got it.
If this is where wrestling's going, I want off.
And it's not. And it's not.
Off.
No.
This is not where wrestling's going. This was a kind of a, and this is only Matt Hardy that's only doing this. Like, yes, other tag teams and other people were wrapped up into it, but he's at the center of it. Now, if next week, We see, why can't I think of his name?
An Itchweed Invitational?
No, the dummy, yeah.
Oh, God.
Why am I totally blanking on his name?
I am too.
What?
Or like, the guy in TNA, who's really funny, and he's really good. Or like, say EC3. Like, if EC3 starts doing like these weird, the seven deities thing, then yes, we have an issue.
Yeah,
but this is a limited thing. Yes, because it's mostly stuck to Matt Hardy's segments. And then again, this total nonstop deletion was it was entirely based around the Hardys.
Yeah, but
there were other matches that happened around it, but it wasn't just.
Where did this start? This started with
Eli Drake. Yeah, as soon as you were starting to say it,
this started with vignettes and segments where Matt Hardy was nuts. Yeah. That made sense. Mm-hmm. Jeff Hardy was nuts. Okay, it made a little bit more sense. They do the Final Deletion, which was, even though it was terrible, mm-hmm. like in a B movie kind of way, the only B movie part of it was the camera cuts. Because they were a little odd, because it was filmed like a movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that Matt Hardy was over the top crazy. Oh, his boat was Skarsgård, it protected me and stuff like that.
It was dilapidated.
But it still made sense because he was nuts.
Yeah.
But it's progressed from there into more segments and more segments. And now they have their own show where it's not just Matt Hardy is nuts. It's the whole thing is so over the top and ridiculous that is embarrassing. It is embarrassing for no one is going to show this to anyone and seriously say, this is why I love professional wrestling.
No. And
so can I say that I absolutely love the entrance, like of Matt Hardy's mouth and like the opening.
That was great. That makes sense. If it was just a regular match mm-hmm. with Matt Hardy's craziness, makes perfect sense and I love it. But when you have people murdering people on television, when people are falling in volcanoes and flying through the air, goddamn Looney Tunes style, I'm done and I'm done forever. Allie, please go ahead.
I didn't see this. I just want to point that out. I did not see this. But from what it sounds like, people that watch this and enjoy it did not watch it for wrestling. It was just entertainment factor.
They wanted to
but
see
it wasn't even entertaining.
They wanted to see the B-movie aspect of it, which again, I agree. The editing was really bad. It was, and I didn't enjoy it, but I get the appeal of it. I do.
I got the appeal of it before it was watched. If everyone watched it and said, okay, that was embarrassing and a mistake, let's never talk about it again. That's one thing. But for people online to go, that was the most fun I've had watching wrestling forever. Like, what do you watch normally? Like, I watched Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and I thought this was stupid. You know?
They're watching.
I like Tim and Eric, and I thought this was stupid.
Because I honestly think if this wasn't wrapped around a wrestling show, you would be way more on board with it. Because you have to admit, you are the very, like, Jim Cornette. You like
the
old school.
Of this group, I am the old school wrestling.
You don't like any spits of cartoony, like, you know.
Well, okay, compare this to the Young Bucks. Like, I have a problem with the Young Bucks fighting children and children beating them. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a kid beating Kenny Omega. Like,
they wrestle to a draw.
And it was a draw. Yeah, you're being very unfair to that child.
I think that's ridiculous. But in the realm of possibility, if Kenny Omega didn't take them seriously and the kid was really fast and stuff, maybe. But there is
like
no
Rey
way.
Like Rey Mysterio versus Big Show.
Yeah, but there's no way that someone snaps somebody's neck on live television, quote unquote, or someone gets blown out of a volcano like it's the Naked Gun.
Well, I mean, have you ever been blown out of a volcano?
Multiple times.
And you're here?
I never landed in a ring.
He didn't get pinned for the three. Because the whole this whole premise was.
I didn't think I was going to get this angry when we started, but the more we
so
talk about
angry.
It.
Yes, you did.
It's so stupid.
You did nothing, but you talk about how angry you were going to get yesterday.
It's so stupid.
F words.
Because the whole premise of this was.
So many F words now.
Broken Matt Hardy had a premonition. That the seven deities came to him and said that if they didn't prove that the Hardy Boys were the greatest tag team and throughout time and space, that the broken compound would be destroyed, and with it all of Cameron, North Carolina.
Why the hell was Road Warrior Animal there?
If you keep it,
wasn't it Hawk? Isn't Animal dead?
Animal's
no.
dead. No,
no
Hawk's,
Hawk's dead.
Dead.
Animal
is Hawk dead? Okay.
Alive.
If you keep it to Matt Hardy's crazy and he's doing this, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's when you involve everyone else in the insanity. When Crazy Steve and Abyss are murdering people. When volcanoes are coming out of the ground. Yeah. That is when it goes from, okay, Matt Hardy is eccentric to this is a fucking cartoon.
And now everybody else is wrapped into it.
How do you go back to logic from this point? How do you go back to normal wrestling?
I
mean,
I know. So the next Impact, Borash, like you're going to see like the last couple minutes of that. And then Borash is waking up.
Oh, Shannon will have a stroke.
No, you know what? I'll take it. Cause we've had the camera in the baby carriage when Vince McMahon bent over. We've had the illusionary figure of the Ultimate Warrior in the mirror when Hulk Hogan looked into it. And that was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's the only one that could see it.
You tell me that, you know, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy defend their title in a normal match someday or that someone gets hurt wrestling after I saw Crazy Steve get blown out of a volcano. And I will fucking tell you you're an idiot. And I'm done with TNA. I'm done. This should be the fucking dagger in TNA's heart. And I swear to God it should be.
And it's not because they actually have money and Dixie can still try to kill it.
And if you think that I'm being over the top and you think that my hatred of this is too much and I don't get it, that's fine. But this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Why does it say Doit?
And that's all I got. I'm done.
I didn't hate it. The one thing I really didn't like was
You did hate it.
Allie's
done. She's got her head
she's
down.
Got her head on the table.
This, I didn't even see it. This is the worst conversation I've ever been in. I'll send you the link.
You save yourself an hour of time.
Honestly, like, defending it made, cause, like, I don't want to watch it again. I wouldn't want to watch it again. I'm kind of agreed that the broken Matt Hardy stuff probably needs to, cool down a little bit in the coming weeks.
Broken Matt Hardy, it's like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
But they're the tag champs, so I mean.
Imagine in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the humor comes from the fact that all four of the characters are so narcissistic that they think the world revolves around them when it doesn't. You can laugh at them knowing that all of the drama and end of the world scenarios are entirely done within their little circle. Mm-hmm. If that expanded to the rest of the world where their problems were global and their end of the world scenarios affected everyone, it wouldn't be as funny. It would be ridiculous. When Matt Hardy goes from being eccentric, crazy guy to literal, like, murdering and volcanoes and stuff like that, you've not only jumped the shark, you jumped over the shark, attached a hook to it, and shot it into outer space where Matt Hardy was sitting on the sun and pinned it for a title.
I want to go eat.
We're going to go eat.
Like,
we'll be back tomorrow with Tanner Thursday. For those of you, and you know, if you liked Total Nonstop Deletion, Lee Montgomery, let me know why. Like, message me and tell me why you liked it. Like, because maybe I didn't see something.
Did he like it?
I don't know. I'm just assuming he did. Austin Lane, any of our wrestling friends, if you are in the business and I don't get it because I'm not in the business.
Actually, that is something I would very much like to also get a take on, like Austin or Brandon or Billy or any of them. Yeah.
What did you guys think of it? Let us know. Like, you don't even have to call me. You got my number. Brandon,
yeah, just send us a Facebook message. Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. I'm sorry about the rant. We'll be back tomorrow with Tanner Thursday. It's our last show before Christmas. It'll be a lot of fun. Allie, thank you for showing up. I'm sorry that we got so angry.
Yeah.
We all got so angry.
No, it was it was just you. It was just you.
Do you have a mouse in your pocket?
I learned it from watching him.
it's a little Hardy mouse. It's got the blonde streak.
Delete.
Broken squeakers.
And it's also a champion. Good night, everybody. See you tomorrow.